Hey everyone, happy holidays, Merry Christmas. It's another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. Producer Nate Vaughn is here. We're not inside TCO Studios at Winter Park. We are in the Vikings team meeting room because NFL Films / NFL Network is using TCO Studios right now as part of the top 100 filming / interviewing. So we've been booted from the studio. Here we are in the team meeting room. Kind of nice in here, Nate.
It is. It's a little chilly. You know, you got the open garage doors at each end, so letting a little bit of that winter breeze in. But, you know, I got my coat. You don't. Right. So we might wrap this thing up pretty quickly, depending on how cold you get.
And we're skipping practice. The team is practicing outside right now because they play outside at Green Bay this week. And so we know that we can use the team meeting room. No one's going to come in here and crash our party. Zimmer's not going to come in and dagger us with his, you know, with his look. So we're in the team meeting room right now. It feels kind of cool. The Vikings are preparing to play the Green Bay Packers right now. That game is on Christmas Eve day. Of course, kickoff is at noon. The Vikings Radio Network will handle the call. The pregame show starts at 10. Make sure you check all that out. But we're here to talk about the game and the buildup to the game and lots of stuff going on. Before we take a deep dive into Vikings Packers, let's take care of a few odds and ends at the top of the show here. By the way, jam-packed show, player we should be talking about, question of the week, five storylines, three threats, all that coming up. But first, let's go over some of these things. Nate, it's week 16, man. Two games to go.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And here's a crazy part about it is only four teams have qualified for the postseason.
That is crazy.
With two games to go.
Yeah.
It's wide open out there for teams looking for playoff spots.
Both sides, NFC and AFC.
Yeah.
Lots of teams.
Two teams in each conference have qualified, and that's it, which means each conference has four spots up for grabs. The four teams who have qualified, New England and Oakland in the AFC, Dallas and Seattle in the NFC. Crazy enough, Dallas has not clinched their division. They've clinched a playoff spot, but not their division. With two games to go, they are two games ahead of the Giants, but the Giants are the ones who have beaten the Cowboys. They've done it twice, so if the Giants can tie the Cowboys, they're going to win the NFC East. Pretty crazy. Awesome slate of games on tap this week for all of you NFL snobs out there. Of course, you have Vikings-Packers on Sunday on Saturday at noon, but Giants-Eagles, an NFC East tilt Thursday night, Tampa-New Orleans, Arizona-Seattle, are your afternoon games on Saturday. Two good matchups. The Tampa-New Orleans game is very relevant to the Vikings. The Vikings need Tampa to lose. And then on Christmas Day, you have Baltimore and Pittsburgh in the middle of the afternoon and Denver at Kansas City as the nightcap. I mean, it does not get much better than that. And then Detroit and Dallas on Monday night, another game that, if the Vikings win on Saturday, is important to the Vikings. So fun football coming up here over the Christmas holiday for all you NFL fans. Lastly, congrats to our Pro Bowlers, Nate. We have four of them, right?
We do.
We're happy for them.
Four of them selected. You know, just like we saw last year, there could be a few more added as players, you know, are still in contention for the Super Bowl, or maybe some are banged up a little bit and don't really want to go through all of the prep. That is, I guess it's less prep than most games, but all the prep that's involved in the Pro Bowl. But we do have four selected.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, very cool.
Harry, Xavier, Everson, and Cordero.
First Pro Bowl selection for Xavier Rhodes. Well deserved.
Yeah.
I think we would all suggest that it's well deserved.
Yes, and hopefully the first of many more to come.
Right.
For Xavier, for young Xavier. Had a great season and a well-deserved Pro Bowl for him. Bad news, Tom Johnson went to the injured reserve list with some sort of hamstring injury that he sustained last week in the loss to the Colts. And we're not sure about Adrian Peterson for Saturday. He's on the injury report, I think, with a knee and groin listing. He's been missing some practice time, so his status remains uncertain for Saturday's game. Let's get into some other people who've been talking about the game this week. We got three bites of sound for you that producer Nate Vaughn has put together. We're going to start with Vikings offensive coordinator Pat Shurmur talking about one thing that he wants the Vikings offense to improve upon this week against the Packers. It's time of possession.
How difficult was it Sunday? You didn't have the ball a ton. I mean, so there wasn't a lot of rhythm early. And just in terms of your play calling, how limited were you because of the deficit?
Well, it's not so much that. From an offensive perspective, we need to stay on the field. You know, we had a three and out and a four and out. And later in the second quarter, we fumbled the ball where we have a chance to go in and score. So when you don't stay on the field, that all the things that you plan to do, you don't get to most of them. And so the challenge for us is obviously to extend drives. We certainly want to create some explosive plays if we can. But if we have to march the ball down the field, I think it's important that we're getting first downs and staying on the field.
There's the offensive coordinator, Pat Shurmur. Vikings defensive coordinator, George Edwards, took the podium this week as well, as he typically does before the upcoming game. And he talked about Aaron Rodgers, but he also talked about another threat on the Packers offense, running back Ty Montgomery.
What do you see about Ty Montgomery doing what he's done, made that transition to running back?
Hey, there's no doubt about it. I mean, he's really turned into a good running back for them. And schematically for what they do, getting the back out and the routes and those types of deals. And he's done a real nice job for him, catching a ball out of the backfield, having the ability to go out and line up and spread formations. And, of course, he's a receiver, so that skill set helps him there. So he'll be a tough matchup for him.
How rare is it to see a player make a mid-season switch like that?
Yeah, it's pretty rare. I mean, you don't see a lot of guys do it, you know, throughout the course of the year. Of course, you've got defensive backs that do switch around some, but offensively for a guy to go to running back, that's a different mindset.
Aaron Rodgers, I mean, another new wrinkle in the sense that he turns it on, he's hobbled, but he's still playing probably his best football of the year.
Yeah, he is. I mean, you mentioned it. I mean, everything he can do, we can move in the pocket. By time, they get the routes down the field. We got to stay matched on the routes. And when he pulls it down to run, he's done a good job of running. And he can make every throw, whether he's on the run or if he's back there stationary in the pocket.
Does he look hampered?
You know, you could tell a couple of times maybe you didn't see the finish of it, but he had no problems escaping and running last week. I mean, when you look at the tape, he had three runs in there that he really, you know, got out and picked up good yardage against him. Scram.
We'll stick with the defensive theme, and now we're going to bring in Mike Zimmer, a little soundbite from him. He recognizes and admits it was a defensive letdown last week against the Colts and says that he needs to find a way to fix it. I think we all have a pretty high degree of confidence that he's going to be able to do that. But here's Coach Zimmer talking about fixing the defense.
After a loss like that, I mean, what do you need to do to get these guys back up to play a game? You know, there's still some hope left to get back up and play a game in Lambeau.
Yeah, well, I'm still thinking about it, man. I'm trying to figure out what's the best way to approach this. You know, they're obviously disappointed. I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed in the way that we performed. You know, this isn't the first time that since I've been here that we've had some bad defensive performances. I can think of Seattle a year ago and Green Bay a year ago, I think, or maybe it was early last year or something. But, you know, we need to fix it. I need to do a better job. I need to get these guys on point.
All right, our friends at the Move the Sticks podcast, Bucky Brooks and Daniel Jeremiah, we love to use sound from their show. They do a great job. We're not going to be happy with them this week, guys. They're picking the Packers to beat the Vikings, but they do say some good things about a few elements of the Vikings team, including middle linebacker Eric Kendricks, who they say has a big matchup with Packers running back Ty Montgomery this week.
We've got Vikings and Packers here, and Aaron Rodgers going up against a pass defense. Look, the numbers bear it out. They're legit, but man, last week, look what the Colts did to this team.
Absolutely ate him up, but it goes back to the quarterback. The quarterback has been on fire. Aaron Rodgers has really done it. 22 touchdowns since week 7. Passer rating of 110.2 in his career against the Minnesota Vikings. Look, that's a tough deal to come up with a solution for being able to stop what Aaron Rodgers likes to do from the pocket.
Yeah, they have a lot of talent in the back end, and they can normally heat up the quarterback. Sitting here at 7-7, this is a gotta-have-it game if you're the Minnesota Vikings. You get Adrian Peterson back last week, didn't do a whole lot, but the pass D has to keep Aaron Rodgers in check in order for them to have a chance in this one. All right, how about best matchup you're looking forward to?
You know, my favorite X factor in most games have been Ty Montgomery, but now I think it's the big matchup because he's proven himself to be a nice running back. Last week, rushed for 162 yards, physical with the ball in his hands, something that you don't really expect from a guy that was a wide receiver coming into the league. They moved the running back, had success. Eric Kendricks has to be on his P's and Q's. He has to slow down Ty Montgomery. Can't let the Packers have a balanced approach, because if they do that, it makes Aaron Rodgers even more dangerous in the backfield.
Yeah, we might have to get him a 2 instead of an 8 there with that 88. We might have to switch up to 28 the way he's been running the rock there for Green Bay. I'm going to go give my X factor, though, defense, Julius Peppers, and what he can bring to the table. Bucky, when he wants to go, as you saw last week, sack, force, fumble, fumble recovery. He got 4 sacks in his last 5 games. When he cranks up that motor, there's nothing you can do about it. And this offensive line from Minnesota, no bueno. So I think UC Peppers, get that motor cranked up, have a huge impact and become the X factor, the real difference maker in this game.
He's beginning to heat it up as we come down the stretch. They've been saving him, preserving him, keeping him ready for the stretch run. I think we're now seeing Julius Peppers get unleashed because the defense is playing well, creating turnovers, and Aaron Rodgers is playing at a sensational rate. I'm going to Packers in this one.
And I'm going to say, look, Frank Gore got 100 yards last week against this Viking defense.
Ty Montgomery goes for 100.
Ty Montgomery, again, this week goes over 100 yards. I like the Packers as well. Always a physical, fun football game to watch. Looking forward to this one.
All right, Nate. Every Wednesday for Vikings.com, I write an article called Five Storylines to Watch. This week for the Vikings and the Packers, it was pretty easy to put together. So I put it together. You got the sheet in front of you. Let's run through it quickly.
Sure thing. Storyline number one is bounce back time for the Vikings defense. We heard Mike Zimmer talk about he's got to figure out a way to get it right.
Mm-hmm.
He's not wrong. It was a rough showing last week. Hopefully we can get things turned around against the Packers.
Yeah, 411 yards and 34 points allowed to the Colts offense. Now, it does have Andrew Luck and T.Y. Hilton, Frank Gore, who's going to be a Hall of Famer. But still, I mean, way too much allowed by the Vikings defense. And so we're looking for a bounce-back effort from the Vikings defense this week against the Packers offense that is probably better than the Colts offense. But this Vikings defense put the lowest output of the season on the Packers offense in week two. The Packers scored just 14 points. That's the lowest output for them all year. Hopefully we can get an encore performance from the Vikings defense.
Speaking of an encore performance, mm-hmm. we want one of those from Sam Bradford and Stephon Diggs.
Yes.
of their performance in week two against the Packers.
They were both awesome against the Packers. It was Bradford's first start as a member of the Vikings, and he was sharp, 22 of 31 for 286 yards, no picks, had a touchdown or two. That day, I believe Rudy had a touchdown and Diggs. So two touchdowns for Bradford in that game. He was really good. And Diggs was also good. He had 9 catches on 11 targets. He had 182 yards, a career high for Diggs. And, of course, a touchdown. And one of my favorite calls of the season by PA was in that game. On Stephon Diggs' touchdown, he said, "And Stephon Diggs is killing the Green Bay Packers." One of my favorite calls of the season by PA. Hopefully we can get an encore performance from these two as well.
Third storyline is converted running back Ty Montgomery. We already mentioned it once, but he mm-hmm. definitely gives the Packers a dynamic twist, as you so eloquently have put it.
Thank you. Yeah, he had 162 rushing yards last week and 2 touchdowns. And the Vikings defense against the run has been very good here in the second half of the season, except last week against Frank Gore and company. They allowed 101 or 102 yards to Frank Gore and too many rushing yards. I think it was 160 to the Colts. So the Vikings got to fix that run defense, and they got to find a way to tie up Montgomery, or else we're not going to be able to get after the passer.
That's one thing they're going to have to do storyline number four. Mm-hmm. Vikings must earn the right to rush the passer.
Yes, they must. They sacked Aaron Rodgers 5 times in week 2, but they also stopped the run, which is why they were able to sack Rodgers as much as they were, and they had a lead in the fourth quarter, and that's when your pass rush can tee off on the opposition. So Danielle Hunter has 10.5 sacks, Everson Griffin has 8, and Brian Robinson has 7. The Vikings are the only NFL team with 3 defensive ends that have 7 sacks or more, and so we want to increase the totals for all 3 of those guys. In order to do that, got to stop the Green Bay rushing attack.
Storyline number 5, playoff hopes may be slim, but they still mm-hmm. do remain alive for your Minnesota Vikings.
They do, and we'll get into that with the question of the week here in a few minutes after we do your gifts that we received this season. And we do the player we should be talking about. We'll get into the question of the week, and that is, how can the Vikings make the playoffs? They need to win out, and they need some help. More of that coming up later.
Let's talk about that player we should be talking about. Okay. It's Kyle Rudolph. Most people know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't make the Pro Bowl,
right,
which might be part of the reason you say we should talk about him.
Yes.
Putting together a heck of a season for a tight end.
And I don't want to call him a snub, you know, because to call someone a snub, you are also saying the one who made it instead of him doesn't deserve it. So that's where we kind of have to be careful. Like LeGarrette Blount did not make the Pro Bowl as a running back, Patriots running back. He leads the NFL in touchdowns. But who did make it? It was Le'Veon Bell and LeSean McCoy. So, I mean, those two deserve to be in there. So I'm not going to call Rudy a snub, but had Rudy made it, I think it would have been appropriate. 66 catches, 670 yards, 6 touchdowns on the season. He ranks tied for the lead among NFC tight ends in receptions with 66, tied with Jason Witten. He's 3rd in yards and 2nd in touchdowns. And with 2 games to go this season, he's got the 5th highest reception total in a single season by a Vikings tight end. And everyone is within reach. Steve Jordan is fourth at 68, so three catches, and Rudy will move into fourth. Jermaine Wiggins had 69 and 71, so Rudy is within striking distance of the third and second place finishers. And then Joe Sensor has the record for single-season receptions by a Vikings tight end with 79. So 14 catches for Rudy over the final 2 weeks, and he will set a team record for receptions by a tight end. Nice season by Kyle Rudolph in 2016.
Question of the week, how is it that the Vikings can actually make the playoffs?
Yeah, and I figured it out, but don't give me much credit because it's very easy. There's only one route to the playoffs for the Vikings.
Okay, let's hear it.
Here it is. You got to win out. You got to beat Green Bay, and then you got to beat Chicago. And that might be the toughest part of the whole deal,
yeah,
is winning those two games. But if the Vikings do that, they also need Tampa Bay to lose out. Well, who does Tampa Bay play, you say? Huh, I got it right here. At New Orleans, they could lose that game.
They could.
And then the last game of the season, they're at home against Carolina. I saw Carolina beat Washington on Monday night. That looks like a team that could beat Tampa Bay. So not too unrealistic. So Vikings win out. Tampa Bay loses out. What else has to happen? We need Washington to lose one game. They have two remaining, of course. This one, this week, is at Chicago. They'll probably win that game. And if they do, the next week they play the Giants. Giants are on fire. I expect the Giants to win that game. So again, not an unreasonable thing to have happen. Lastly, we need the Lions to win the division. In order for them to do that, if we beat Green Bay, they just have to win one of their final two games. They're at Dallas, and then they're home against Green Bay. So
two tough games.
Two tough games,
they've
right.
They've proven they can do that.
Right. And so the Vikings have a shot, and call it whatever you want to call it, a long shot, minuscule chance, whatever you want to call it, you can call it, but the Vikings do have a chance.
Let's do three threats.
Okay.
Three threats. The first threat, we've talked about them a handful of times already. There's two of the three we've already talked about quite a bit. Ty Montgomery is the first, the wide receiver converted running back. He's become their full-time running back.
We had Bursich break down tape of Ty Montgomery on Vikings game plan this week. It's up on Vikings.com right now. So if you want to go even deeper on this threat, go to the Vikings website, watch the Bursich film breakdown. He does a great job every week, and he did a great job on Ty Montgomery.
Aaron Rodgers,
yes.
The second threat. He's an obvious choice every time you play the Packers.
The last play on that Bursich film study was a four-man rush by the Bears where Aaron Rodgers literally had 7 weeks to stand back there and wait for someone to get open. No one did, and so he ran it to the goal line, did not score, but got to the one-yard line. So for me, even though Rodgers is gimpy, we got to rush him wisely. We cannot get out of body. We cannot try and do someone else's job. Everyone has to maintain their lane integrity and rush Rodgers smartly.
Finally, HaHa Clinton Dix in the defensive secondary for the Packers, just selected to his first Pro Bowl, also the defending NFC Defensive Player of the Week.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, good game last week against Chicago. Really good player, can do everything. I would say he's Harrison Smith light. He's like that type of player. And so, you know, at all three levels of the Packers defense, they have a really good player. They have Mike Daniels as a defensive tackle, and Julius Peppers is no slouch either at defensive end slash rush linebacker. But Mike Daniels is their stud up front. Of course, they have Clay Maker in the middle, second level of the defense, who's not exactly healthy right now. But then they have HaHa Clinton Dix in the back end, who's really good. And so you got to watch out for him. He's a little bit of a ball hawk. He can come up and play the run. So you got to kind of scheme for HaHa Clinton Dix.
Finally, it's been sort of a weird kind of rough year and in a lot of different ways for Vikings fans and the Vikings organization. A lot of injuries, lots of unfortunate things.
Mike Zimmer's eye.
Yeah, like you couldn't have predicted like that would be a thing you're talking about this football season.
Mother.
So with that in mind, it's the holiday season. I think we should count our blessings a little bit.
I love this.
Yeah, so I made a short list of things that we should be thankful for. We should count as gifts, if you will. The first gift is a pretty easy one. It's a brand new stadium, U.S. Bank Stadium. Every team that's come here has said what a great stadium it is. So that's a good sign that maybe you did it right.
It's been loud in there.
True.
I think the crowd has shown up, and their efforts have been amplified by the building. I believe it's a decided home field advantage for the Vikings when they're playing well and the defense is on the field. I think it gets really loud in there, and the building has gotten a lot of great reviews. So far, so good for U.S. Bank Stadium.
Second on the list is Kai Forbath. Put in sort of a tough spot. I mean, you don't always like to bring in players halfway through the season and then expect them to contribute right away, but he's been perfect on field goals this year.
He even made a 50-yarder last week.
Yeah.
So Kai Forbath has been really good. He's been solid. He's been okay on kickoffs. I believe he's missed one extra point, but he's been perfect on field goals. And who knows? Maybe that guy will be around for the offseason and for camp and will compete for a job for next season.
Yeah, making his case so far.
Yeah.
Adam Thielen is on this list. We sort of knew what we had in Diggs, and Diggs looked good all the way through the offseason. He looked like he could be the guy.
Yep.
And Adam Thielen looked good, but nobody really said anything.
Yeah.
And now he's turned into what could qualify as one of our number one receiving options.
I think he's got great hands.
Yeah.
Very sure-handed receiver. Tough. Gets hit hard a lot, but comes back and plays. He's 42 receiving yards shy of giving the Vikings their first duo to both amass 800 yards in the same season. Moss and Carter did it in 2001. That was the last time we had two 800-yard receivers. Diggs is already there. Thielen is one solid game away from being there as well. Productive, reliable, and an awesome guy to have around the building.
If you remember, last year at Green Bay was kind of, you could call it his coming out party.
Mm-hmm.
He had a few big plays in that game.
A fake punt.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yep. So maybe we can secure that 800 yards receiving in this game.
Be appropriate.
Next, we have Danielle Hunter.
Yes.
Same kind of thing. We knew he was good. We liked what we had. But in his sophomore season, if you want to call it that, he stacks up with some of the best.
10.5 sacks. 10.5 sacks, only guy on our defense with double-digit sacks. Adrian Peterson said in the locker room before the season started that he would not be surprised if Danielle Hunter had double-digit sacks because he trained with them this offseason in Texas, in Houston. Adrian was right. Danielle has been awesome.
Next, we have Terrence Newman, the quote-unquote old man.
Yeah.
He's sneaky, put together one of his best seasons he's had in a long time.
Super solid. Has really allowed the Vikings to bring Trey Waynes along the way they wanted to, and it's been beneficial for Trey. And while that's been happening, Terrence has been solid on the outside, reliable. Mike Zimmer has called him like a coach on the field, and it's been really been a pleasure to have Terrence around.
Finally, we have Shamar Stephen, a guy that a lot of Vikings fans still might not even know because of his
unheralded fashion.
Yeah, unheralded fashion.
Right.
Yeah.
He's not a household name guy.
No, he's not. And the position he plays is the definition of that.
Like, right.
You don't know most of defensive tackles throughout the league. You just don't.
And we already have one that you do know, Linval Joseph, so everyone's kind of had their appetite filled with defensive tackles.
Right.
But Shamar is like Linval Joseph light, almost.
Yeah.
Like we call
very light.
Right. It's not easy to be lighter than Linval. Shamar has been really key to the Vikings defending the run. And we've heard Mike Zimmer talk about that. We've heard George Edwards talk about that throughout this season. And they can move Shamar to three technique. They can play him at nose. And Shamar's really kind of been a silver lining in what was not a great situation with Sharif Floyd and his injury problem this year, where he was just never able to get back on the field. The one who benefited from that was Shamar Stephen, and I think he's a guy who's going to be a key cog in the defense next year as well. I don't think this was a one-hit wonder year for Shamar. I think he's a guy who's going to likely be a starter for us next season as well.
So a lot of things have gone weird this year. Mm-hmm. A lot of things have gone pear-shaped, as your buddy Paul Allen would say. But there's still a handful of things to be grateful for Vikings fans.
Indeed. That's a good list, Nate. Good job.
Thank you.
If your real Christmas list is as quality as that, you're going to have a great Christmas.
Oh, I hope
good
so.
Good job. Yeah. All right. That's it. That's all the damage we can do for today. The Wobcast is over. But the fun this weekend is only beginning. The Vikings and the Packers on Christmas Eve Day. Kickoff is at noon. The pregame show on the Vikings Radio Network begins at 10. It's hosted by Mike Mussman, PA Pete Bursich, Greg Coleman, Ben Lieber will bring you the call across the Vikings Radio Network. I'll be in the booth doing stats for Bursich and for PA. We're going to have a good time. Nate will be freezing his tail off on the field shooting the game so you guys can watch tons of highlights.
Could be worse. Could be like last weekend.
Right. Where we were fortunately, we were inside for that. So
yes.
We're looking forward to the game. We hope you are too. And then you come right back here for the Wobcast next week because we're going to talk about it. Hopefully we're still alive in that playoff chase in the NFC because right now it's wide open. Hope everyone has a great holiday weekend. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. We're going to talk to you next week. Until then, see you later.
So yeah.